Welcome to That's a Chunky. This is Kevin here with Jared, King of the Slams.
What's up?
And the woman who knows more about Detroiters than Tim Robinson and Sam Richardson combined, Jessica.
Hey guys, I doubt very much that that's true.
We are, no offense to our past guests, none of them can compare to what we're about to do now. We are joined by a man who requires a very specific introduction. When we think of a name that people trust, only one comes to mind, a man who taught us about the world and a man who picks us up on our worst day and cheers us on our best, the man we rely on most, Mort Krim. Mort, thank you for joining us today.
It seems to me I've heard that introduction somewhere in my
Well, Kevin, it sounded so natural. I assumed you just came up with it on the fly, but
yeah, is that, have you heard that before, Jared?
I felt like I had, but it was just so beautiful.
There's a saying among writers that if you borrow a line that somebody else has written, that's plagiarism. But if you borrow from 10 different writers, that's research.
They say I'm the show's foremost researcher.
Yeah. You have to be in this business.
Yeah. It's at least what I tell myself. But then again, I'm also going to let Jessica ask all the questions because she knows more about Detroiters than anybody. So, Jessica, jump right in. I'm so excited to see what you have for us.
That's funny. Sure. You're going to ask all the questions because I have a cat over here that's going to give all the answers.
So. Beautiful. I love cats. It's an absolute pleasure, Mort. Thank you so much for being here with us. The easiest way I figured to kick it off would be just asking you about what your Detroiters journey started. Like, where, who did you first meet? How did you hear about the show? Did Tim and Sam call you? How did it kind of all start for you?
Well, I can tell you the story as it was told to me. I got a call from a talent agent in Detroit that I'd known for some time, very nice lady, and I knew her when I lived there and worked there. And of course, I'm retired now in Florida, and she called and said, they're doing this show called The Detroiters. And she said, the producer of the show said, we would like to get a Mort Krim type to do this Chump of the Week thing. And they knocked it around for a while, and she said, well, why don't you ask Mort Krim? If you're looking for a Mort Krim type, they weren't sure that I would do it. And I, when they called, I thought, well, this sounds like fun. And I've still got a pretty busy schedule. I do voiceovers and I do quite a few things on the side just to keep busy. And I'm still writing. But I thought, I've got time to do that, especially if I can do the videos here in Florida. And we have a studio that actually it's affiliated with Post Newsweek Station with Channel 4 in Detroit that I'd done some work here. And so I said, yeah, if I can do the clips here, I'll be happy to do it. So they sent me the script. The producer got on the line while I was doing the video so that he could direct. And if it wasn't exactly what he was looking for, he could redo it. So that first season, that's what we did. And I had this little cameo where I showed up on the TV set in the bar doing the Chump of the Week. So season one ends, and now we're between tapings, and I get a call from the show producer. I guess the executive producer is Lauren Michaels, who does Saturday Night Live and a lot of stuff on Comedy Channel. But the line producer, who was actually on set doing the shows, he called me and he said, are you up to doing the cameos again for the second season? And I said, sure, it was fun. I enjoyed it. And he said, well, this time we want to do one show about you, where you will be the star of the show. And I said, well, that's interesting. The only requirement I would have is, the right to adjust the script or change the script if I thought something was not, since I'm playing myself, I don't want to do anything that is, would be contradictory to what my image is, what I've tried to portray over the years.
For sure.
So they sent me the script, and there was only one small item in it that I felt was a little out of line, because I said, I just don't use those words. And so they said, not a problem. I said, well, you know, you're asking me to play myself, and so I have to be authentic to who I am. But I thought it was a funny script. I thought it was a funny premise. They had me come to Detroit to do that filming, because it was, you know, involved other people. I couldn't do it from here. And so I spent, I think, 3 days on the set. I had my own trailer. I had my own makeup person. I had my own director's chair with my name on the back. And it was all
nice.
Pretty neat. Pretty much
very
fun.
Nice.
A lot different than doing the news.
Could we ask you what the letter, or sorry, what the first letter is of the word you weren't willing to say? Or is that undercover, top secret? Start with an F?
I don't know. It might have been son of a bitch. I don't know. I don't remember, but it just didn't sound like me. And I thought, you know, this, it's not going to help the script to have me do something that's out of character.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind the line, you know, your jacket smells like shit. That, I mean, a line that I didn't feel comfortable going across. And think, you know, that's, it just doesn't feel right to me. So, but yeah. I honestly don't remember what the word was, but it was.
No worries. Well, you have a follow-up question about that jacket, by the way. Sorry, Jared.
Sorry, one question. You were very comfortable threatening ISIS in that episode. So I'm assuming that is in character.
I don't have a soft spot in my heart for them.
I'm assuming, I don't know, has ISIS tried to confront you? I have noticed that ISIS maybe is on a little bit of a downturn. I'm curious if that is as a result of your direct threat to them in the furniture commercial.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think it absolutely had the effect that we were, and I think if we were doing the show again, we could probably end the war in Ukraine, bring peace to the Middle East. It was a powerful show, and it was a powerful part that I was asked to play. But
absolutely,
I don't know. Somebody may wake up and realize what incredible potential there is for a third season.
Oh yeah, we are on
1,000%.
Yeah.
Big supporters here for that.
It has to be inevitable.
It's when, not if.
Like what sort of bank truck do we need to back up to get Tim, Sam, and Mort rolling again? I don't understand what the delay is. I don't even have a question. I just want to voice my frustration.
He's awfully busy in Hollywood. I see on Instagram all the time. He's busy accepting Emmys and doing more shows. And by the way, did you see him on Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
Did you see his portrayal of the African prince?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very funny.
He got an Emmy for that. It was hilarious. Yeah.
And I believe that show had the same creator as Detroiters. I believe Joe Kelly helped create that show as well as Detroiters.
There's a reporter on that show named Krim.
Oh.
Is that an homage?
And that was done purposely, and somebody.
Amazing.
Oh, no way. Yeah.
That show was apparently a fan of mine, and watched, and so he, just as a kind of a little tribute to me, he named that reporter on the Ted Lasso show Krim. I don't remember what the first name was, but
The name's escaping me right now.
I can't believe Trent Krim. I can't believe I didn't put those.
That's it, Trent
together.
I'm thinking if I ever go back into the business, I'll become Trent Krim. It's just a nice name. I mean, Mort means death in French.
It's true. Trent
would be much nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Mort's perfect.
I think Mort's perfect too.
It really is.
You can't
it's
give
a
up
strong
the
name. You know.
Bob Talbert used to call me Grim Krim, so maybe a name that we
How did you earn that nickname?
Because I was pretty serious. Because I wasn't Bill, what's his name? You know the guy I'm talking about. Over Channel 7.
Oh. Mm. I might need
Channel
to be
7 guy. Go or Channel 4 people in this house.
I was giving you every opportunity there, and you. I guess you never watched him. That's okay.
Bill Bonds.
Yes.
Yeah, we are actually, we don't have any Detroit natives among us. We should have probably brought in a ringer.
That's awesome.
The other ones from my generation on the air are pretty much all gone now. Al Ackerman has passed away. Jack LaGoff has passed away. Bill Bonds is gone. I did have lunch last week with Chuck Gatica. And Dan Mountney, I don't know if you remember Dan, he was one of our major reporters, did a lot of great stuff for Channel 4. And Chuck and Susan have remained really good friends over the years, as has Carmen. I don't see her that often. But Chuck and Susan and Dan Mountney are all retired at Estero, Florida, which is a small community near Fort Myers. Mm-hmm. So I loaded up my old cat into the RV, and we drove over to the Gulf side of the state and had a great reunion with those guys. And then after lunch, we went out to the RV, and we sat around in front of the RV on the patio and told more lies.
Love it.
And what else? Are there other things from Detroiters that were like homages to your time working? You know, like we know WDIV. You're at Channel 4, and then on the show, you're on Channel 4 News. Like, what did you have other subtle homages in Detroiters to your life as an anchorman in Detroit?
I didn't write the scripts.
Okay.
They wrote them for me. I did take liberties with a couple of them that I tried to, didn't need to make them better because they were really well written. But there would be an occasion where I would think, oh, gee, this line just works. I do a little ad-libbing. But no, I didn't take many liberties with the script because I thought they were well done.
It's amazing.
There's a couple of features about you in the show that are very specific that I was curious whether or not it's real Mort or if it's made for TV Mort. Could we go through like a couple of rapid fire questions around some of the stuff that was featured in Detroiters that you did?
Sure.
Excellent. Okay. First is, are you really a pool shark?
I just got a new pool table. For my house, you know, my Excellent. Wife passed away a couple of years ago. And
I'm sorry to hear that.
We had this sunroom built. Well, she and I were married 31 years, had a great marriage.
Wow, that's amazing.
And we had 8 years here at our current home in a retirement community in Florida, and we loved it. And so I'm staying here with my cat.
Mm-hmm.
To answer your question, I am not a pool shark, but I hope to be now that I have this pool table. My son went with me on a cruise to the Caribbean last November, and we stopped at a place in Puerto Rico in San Juan, bar that had a pool table, and he says, come on, Dad, let's play some pool. And he just took me to the cleaners.
Oh, no.
Said to him, I said, well, I'm glad to know that all that tuition money I paid to get you through college and grad school did something worthwhile with that time. Spent a lot of time at the pool table to be as good as he is. So I'm hoping that now I can practice in my own environment that when he comes to see me the next time, I'll at least be able to hold my own.
Yeah. Best of That's luck to the rematch.
Saying, no, I'm not a pool shark. We had a professional who did shots.
Oh, really? Very nice.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. Nice. Yeah, they had to find somebody who was not only a professional, but had hands similar to mine. And so he put on my jewelry, my rings, and bracelet. And so when they did
You got them all back.
You know, I think only a pool shark, not a loan shark. But I got everything back.
Excellent. Speaking of the pool hall, Jumbo's pool hall, I think it is in Detroit. The jacket that Tim was wearing that everyone says stinks, did it actually stink in real life?
Yep.
No?
No, Tim did, but the jacket did.
I imagine he smells like hot dogs. That's just an assumption.
Yeah, and cooking onions. And, yeah.
Hot dog bowls.
Yeah. Next question is, do you really stand at your desk when you read the news?
No. Old Henry Ford once asked the secret of his longevity. Said, I never stand when I can sit, and I never sit when I can lie down. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
I agree.
I was glad you guys didn't say that I had to stand for this interview.
That's what ISIS would have wanted.
Yeah.
All of us standing.
And we don't give in to terrorists.
If you told me that I could lie down and do the interview, I'd have been yours for a couple of hours.
I have no reservations.
Yeah, I'll clear my schedule. We're good.
Yes.
Okay. Next question.
Next is, on Best Friends Day in the last episode of season 2, you brought in Dave onto the show. Is he really your best friend?
Who's Dave?
So does that mean that the spot's open?
The spot's open. Yeah, because most of my best friends have all died. So I'm definitely auditioning for a best friend.
Well, then you've got 3 new applicants right
here. That's true. That's true. We're ready.
Let's see. Do you really know every one of your friends on Facebook?
All 5,000 of them. And I know their addresses. I know where they live, and they better be careful what they say.
You heard that, the world.
By the way, I disabled my Facebook account, 10 years ago. After watching some of that video again recently, I thought about reactivating it just to friend you, so that you could familiarize yourself with my kids' names and their accomplishments. But, I've not done that yet.
I remember when you did that, and I missed it.
What was that, Mark? That last part?
I said I knew when he did that, and I've missed him ever since.
Oh, well, maybe I will get it, fire it back up. On the topic of kids, in this little known fact, most of our listeners are adolescent girls. I'm kidding. I'm a father of an adolescent girl, and I noticed you did a promo for Olivia Rodrigo and her new album. I'm just curious how that came into being in the event that there is an adolescent girl listening to this.
I was just as curious as you are. So here I am sitting here in Florida. I am now a great grandfather. I have 5 grandchildren, 3 great grandchildren.
Wow.
And so I'm sitting down here in a retirement community, still have an active life. I play tennis 3 days a week. I'll be playing in the morning. And I'm blessed with good health. I ride my bike. But still, I'm a great grandfather. And I get this call from a young woman, probably old enough to be my granddaughter, who calls from Hollywood and said, Mr. Krim, Olivia Rodrigo would like you to be the voice on the trailer for her first album. Well, my first question was, who the hell is Olivia Rodrigo? So I thought, well, if she's a young pop singer, I'll ask my grandkids, and they let out a squeal. You don't know who Olivia Rodrigo is. She's the hottest thing. Blah, blah, blah. So I thought, okay, all right. So I agreed to do it, and we worked out a fee. And they said I have a studio here in my home. I'm sitting in it right now. It's a combination office studio, and I've got all the professional equipment. And I said, can I do it here? And they said, sure. So they sent me a script and gave me the time limit for it. And I sent 3 or 4 versions of it. And they said, we love it. It's great. I said, I'm so curious to know, because I'm not on the market anymore. It's not like I have an agent who's out there saying, here's more Grim for voiceovers. And she said, well, it's very simple. She said, you were the voice on a cut on the White Stripes Elephant. And Olivia is a big fan of White Stripes, and she heard your voice on that cut. Little Acorns was the name of it, in case you guys don't know. And she said, I want that voice for my trailer. And so I've now done 2 of them. I did the one for her most recent also. But It's life is interesting. You know, Kevin Bacon talked about 6 degrees of separation, and I'm impressed every single day. I went to a party the other night here in the retirement community. Some of these parties get wild. They'll run till 8:30 at night sometimes. So I knocked over a few walkers on my way in. So I'm at this party, and I'm introduced to this woman, and she was in the process of leaving the community and moving to Ohio to be closer to her family. And I said, "What part of Ohio?" And she said, "Hamilton." I said, "I went to junior high in Hamilton and started high school in Hamilton. My father was minister of a church in Hamilton." And Hamilton is a little town, maybe 150,000 people. And of all the people in the world, and all the people I could meet at this, there were only 7 or 8 of us at this party, and of all the places she could be moving, and of all the places I could have been from, mm-hmm. Hamilton, Ohio. And we're comparing notes and street addresses and places, restaurants and so forth. And I'm always amazed at what a small world it is. And how often you run into people in the strangest places. I was sitting at an outdoor restaurant in Paris. This is back when I worked in Philadelphia. And this man and woman walked up and said, "Are you Mort Krim?" "Yeah, I think so." "We watch you every night on KYW in Philadelphia. And here is Paris, France." So
very cool.
It's a small world, and it's always interesting and fascinating to me for these little coincidental kinds of things.
Absolutely. Have you ever been to Italy, or at least have you still never seen a fat Italian?
I have been to Italy, and I plead the fifth on the second part.
Respectable answer. Appreciate it.
I've been to Italy a few times. I was over for when Archbishop Maida was elevated to cardinal. Oh, and when Shaka was elevated to cardinal. I was over there twice for the station to cover the promotion to cardinal of 2 Detroit archbishops. And I've been other times on vacation.
Very nice. I know you had mentioned before that you typically did your cameos from your home in Florida, but I was wondering, when you did have to head to Detroit and film with the cast, do you have any favorite moments or scenes that you were filming that you really enjoyed from your time when you were with everyone?
Oh, I have a story for you that is...
I love stories.
It's just almost too embarrassing to tell.
No, but don't feel embarrassed.
Yeah, don't be.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't tell it because it's... It makes me look bad.
No, nothing could make you look bad. I find that hard to believe. I promise.
It does. It does.
If anyone thinks you look bad after this, I will personally send them boxes of diarrhea for the rest of their life.
Good. Okay, now with that caveat, yes. Let me tell you the story. So you remember the opening to my newscast that they had created, where I come running in out of the fire into a fire, and mm-hmm. and I'm hanging from a helicopter, and at one point I'm running a motor scooter or motorcycle. Well, all that was done with green screen, of course, and when I'm dangling from the helicopter, I'm actually standing on a Coke box, and so it's all make-believe Hollywood put together. But the motorcycle scene, they had this motorcycle set up in the middle of the studio with the green screen behind it, where they're going to super in the landscape. And this young producer, and that's probably ridiculous to say that because they're all young, like you guys, they're everybody's young. My doctor's a teenager. So the producer came out, the young man, and he said, "Mr. Krim, I worked and worked to try to get them to call me Mort. But they were all so young, they were all intimidated. And finally I said, if you don't quit calling me Mr. Krim, I'm going to walk off the set." So anyway, we got through that hurdle. Well, he came out and he said, "Now, would you like to have a box when it comes time for you to get up on the motorcycle?" And I looked at him. Now, this very sweet young thing who was my personal hairstylist and makeup girl is sitting next to me, gorgeous young lady. And I thought, I'm going to get up on a box. box. I'm going to look like some creepy old man. Embarrassing. And, you know, here I've been working with her for the last couple of days, and she's sitting here. I said, I don't need a box. I've ridden motorcycles, ridden horses, flown airplanes, climbed to the top of huge mountains. Well, that part's a, that's not true.
I would believe.
Yeah, I was in.
It was actually a landfill, but it had grass growing on it. So comes time for me to do this motorcycle scene, and the young producer said, "Mr. Grimm," and I went over, and I could not get my leg up over the motorcycle seat.
Oh, no.
As I might. It was high. It was big. It was a huge motorcycle. And I grabbed my leg with both hands, and I tried. I couldn't get it up there. So finally, the young man walks over with a Coke, a wooden Coke box, you know, that you put Coca-Cola, and he sets it down. He said, "Mr. Grimm," and I, red-faced and embarrassed and thoroughly chagrined that this beautiful young lady had seen this
demonstration
that I really was, in fact, a decrepit old man.
No. I blamed Tim and Sam for getting too big of a, like a huge hog. They should have gotten a normal size hog.
I got on the motorcycle and we did the scene.
And it looks great. I believed it was real the whole time. And I'm 100%. A little disenchanted now that you weren't hanging from the helicopter. It's fine. It's fine.
I always hate to disillusion the night.
No, I was going to ask about the helicopter. Now I'm out of questions.
Well, I've got plenty more. No worries.
All right.
So Moore, I know you don't usually comment on the commercials, but we would love to know if you have a favorite commercial, and it can be real life or from the show.
Do I have a favorite commercial from real life or from the show? Well, I love the Geico commercials. The Geico Gecko is one of my favorite characters.
Mm.
I don't remember any Gardner Weish. You representing? I think a lot of the commercials these days are pretty stupid. one comment that I have about commercials, and I don't know what the answer is to this, but you start looking at commercials now, every time you see a commercial with people, they are always laughing.
Mm.
In real life, people aren't always laughing.
No,
that's true.
And it gets a little tiring after a while to see all, because it makes the commercials unreal. If everybody's always happy and jubilant and joyous and at everything all the time, what kind of authenticity can the commercial have? I don't know.
It's a little more grim crim, right?
Yeah, you don't want to have people looking dour and sad and angry and unhappy, but it strikes me that there must be a way to do commercials that doesn't have people always looking like they just had a mouthful of laughing gas.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
It sounds like
we need
an
to
idea.
Hire Cramblin Duvet to do all of the commercials, and maybe Geico would be open to a pairing for season 3 with more featured.
I don't know if you're aware, but my cat, Groucho, is a reporter.
Amazing.
And Groucho has a page on my YouTube channel called Groucho and the Old Guy. And every time we make a trip together, he does a little mini documentary, 2.5 to 3 minutes, called Groucho and the Old Guy. He bills himself as the world's greatest reporter cat. He talks. I'm not going to tell you how that's done. I'd have to kill all three of you.
That's totally fair.
But and that'd be the end of your podcast.
That would.
It'd be a way to go out, honestly.
Yep. Yeah. Krim took us all out. So,
quite a cat. And if you haven't had a chance to see his reports, he hasn't done any lately because he's kind of lazy. But he has reported on my travels, our travels together since my wife passed away. And I'll give you the backstory before you go rushing to YouTube to see these reports or to my Facebook page. After my wife passed away a couple of years ago, I had a reservation. We did a lot of travel by RV. Used to be boaters, and I used to have an airplane. And so we decided the RV was more age appropriate, and we bought a motorhome and traveled around the country. And I had already made a reservation for Highlands, North Carolina. It's beautiful. It's in the mountains, and it's quite a vacation retreat place. Charming little town. And I debated whether to go because at that point, my wife had only been gone about 4 months, and I was still in very deep grief. And my kids said, "Dad, you can sit home and feel sorry for yourself, or you can just go on up there, and maybe you'll be around people, you'll meet some people." And so I did. And well, all of my neighbors here in the neighborhood, I have several good friends where I've known the couples, and now one of them has deceased. So there are a lot of widows and widowers in this area. And we socialized, we party together. And so some of them were quite concerned about me taking off alone in the RV without my companion. And I said, "Don't worry about it. Well, post on Facebook about your travels. Let us know how things are going with you and Groucho." So I'm driving up. My first stop is going to be overnight in Georgia on my way up to Highlands, North Carolina. And I'm driving along thinking, that's going to be boring. What am I going to say? Tonight we pulled over and we spent the night in a Cracker Barrel parking lot. I went in the morning and I had an omelet for breakfast. And then we pulled in here and I got some diesel fuel at this truck stop. And man, I can't imagine just posting about my travels because it's going to be boring. And then I thought, being a TV type and being a little creative and knowing a little bit about production, I thought, what if I had my cat do the reports? So the first night or second night, I got out my laptop. I had the iMovie program on it. And so I wrote a script. I had Groucho record his part. I recorded my part. He doesn't know that he recorded his part, but it's just And I pulled out some appropriate music, and I made a soundtrack, and I did special effects, and I put in a title. And Groucho was off and running with his first report of Groucho and the Old Guy. Awesome. Well, it was a hit, and it went viral, and people were signing up. And so we finally put him up on the YouTube channel. Long story short, which it's probably too late for that.
I don't know.
But I have 20 of these reports up on YouTube now. And they range all the way from mediocre to pathetic.
I can't imagine that that's the bar, Mort.
Anyway, I think you might enjoy them. You can see them on YouTube, or you have to go to my channel, and then there should be a page. I don't know if it's a folder page or whatever that says Groucho, and then all the reports are up there.
Yeah, we'll link them in the show notes so everybody can check them out. That sounds fun.
It's been fun. We're actually talking to a company now that is considering sponsoring it.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Very nice.
Is it Detroit based?
He wants an agent. He wants,
of course,
guaranteed tummy rubs every day, in addition to additional treats.
Makes total sense.
Love it.
He's a diva. He's a diva, but that's okay.
Oh yeah. He is. He's
entitled to me.
Yeah, little narcissist.
You mentioned representation, and I know that you have founded the Crimson Agency that's in Detroit, right? Would you ever do a collaboration with Cramblin Duvet? Maybe bring Groucho into one of the episodes as well?
Where would we do this? Oh, you mean on Groucho's reports?
Yeah, maybe introduce Groucho into the Detroiters universe.
He did a report on my return to Detroit, and we did a tour of the Crimson Agency. that was interesting too, because the guy who now owns that agency and is running it, and he's very talented, might have been 22 years old when I hired him.
Wow.
Its department, and he had so much promise, and he just learned the business, and he learned the business side of it to the point where I sold it to Terry Opria, who had been the main guy that I brought in when I founded the company. Terry bought the company from me, owned it for 7 years, and by the time he sold it and retired, Chris Heaton, who now owns the company, was now in his early mid-50s and had matured to such a point where he's just a frontline businessman. And it's been so Chris called me a few months ago and he said, you know, this has been MCCI for ever since you founded the company. And he said, we are thinking of a name change, but he said, we always want to honor your legacy as the founder of the company. And he said, we've played around with so many different variations of Mort and Crim. And he said, we finally come up with this. What do you think about it? The Crimson Agency. And I said, Crimson, you're naming it after my kid. You're not naming it. but my son had actually worked for the agency when I was there and helped me a little bit with some of my second thoughts commentaries. But
very cool. Anyway,
amazing.
It's a good life.
Yeah. I was wondering, because you lived in Detroit for so many years, you were on Channel 4 for almost 20 years. Is there any part of Detroiters that makes you nostalgic for the city? Because that is kind of like a big feature of the show, is just the love for Detroit.
I miss the city a lot, and I try to get back there at least once a year. And I go up every summer in the RV to Lake Leelanau, which is north of Traverse City. And my wife and I have done that for years, and I'll be going again this summer. And I get through Detroit. I don't know if you saw the reunion show that we did with Carmen and Chuck and Bernie, and it was an hour-long reunion show. It's on YouTube.
No, we'll check that out, and we'll link that as well.
Yeah.
That was really fun, and because I haven't kept closely in touch with those folks, but I've seen them from time to time. Carmen, I've talked to more regularly, I guess, than anybody else, because we work more closely.
Mm. Oh, speaking of lakes, then, can you help us settle a debate for Detroiters?
All right, I'll try.
Okay. Is Lake Orion that far away?
Is Lake Orion not far away?
Is it super far away from Detroit, like downtown Detroit?
Lake Orion?
Yes.
You're asking me if Lake Orion is close to Detroit?
I'm just asking, if someone were to say, could you drive me home after work? Because I need, you know, I don't have a car. Would you take me to Lake Orion if I live there? Or is that like way too far if you live in Detroit?
It would depend on who was asking me.
Mm. Like if Freddie Motown Brown or
how pretty she was. It'd be a lot of
gotcha. It's good to have standards for long drives. I respect that. And it does sound like it's leaning towards Lake Orion's pretty far away.
It's pretty far.
Yeah.
Well, Lake Orion is, I don't know. Was that a bit?
Yeah, sorry. That was a bit.
From the show.
That was a bit in the show. Yeah.
Very sorry.
I wonder if I missed that episode. I saw most of them, but I can't say I saw every single one.
It's very okay. Early on.
It's the fourth episode.
Fourth episode.
The Devereaux Wiggs one with George Wallace as Freddie Motown Brown.
Yeah.
If that rings a bell. It's okay. I'm pretty sure. I don't know that Mort's in that episode, so that might be.
Yeah, I don't know if he is.
Might be why.
Yeah,
Mort, is there, other than your own episode, obviously, is there an episode that sticks out to you from the show that resonates with you? And well, actually, you don't have to exclude your own. You can answer your own if that's the one that resonates the most.
I think they did one with David Bing that was kind of funny.
Right. Yeah.
The mayor.
Yeah. It's always fun when you can have somebody who's been pretty important in the community and poke fun, you know, laugh with them. But Yeah, I thought they were all clever and well done, well written, and well performed. And I was disappointed that it didn't go into a third season. But you know, that's television. That's television.
We're all in that boat with you, Mark.
Mm-hmm. I have faith. I think it's season three is inevitable. It has to happen.
Putting it out into the universe. Do you have any plans for who might be Chumps of the Week that you might nominate for when we do pick up season three? Anybody that you're like keeping in your back pocket so you can name them on the show?
Well, now that I've done this show with
you, oh, no.
I have a rich pool from which to pick.
I would put it on my resume. I'm not even lying.
Yeah.
Chump of the Week 2024.
We're getting t-shirts, the whole thing.
Yes, it would do you. To be the chump.
Sorry, I didn't hear your last thing, Mort.
Of course you didn't. I said, what's it worth to you to be the chump of the week?
I would pay any amount.
I would enlist against ISIS. I'm in.
Well, the problem is I have no platform anymore to make you chump of the week. It would go just off into the ether and nobody would know.
That's enough, though, honestly.
Yeah. I feel honored just to be considered. I've done a lot of acts to be considered for Chump of the Week, so I feel like it's all paying off now.
It's all culminating to this. Go ahead.
Once I get through auditioning for a new best friend, I'll consider Chumps of the Week. I haven't gotten that. That hasn't come up on the top of the pile yet.
Okay. We'll figure out where everybody needs to submit their applications off the podcast. We'll connect with you on that. So I'm sure there are tons of viewers who would really like to submit as well, not just the three of us.
Okay.
Vinod.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think we have a candidate.
You three could certainly apply because it's a very low bar.
Okay.
I did have a question about Chump of the Weeks if there was a blooper reel. I'm so curious because we see a lot of the, like, there's a couple of bloopers that they post on Facebook through Comedy Central and stuff from when the show first aired. But are there like any reels or any chumps that didn't make it to the show that you wish you had seen on the show?
Not that I recall. I don't recall that we did any that didn't make air. It's possible, but I don't recall.
Okay. I mean, everything was probably perfect. The first take, I imagine, is all. It's all perfect. So that sounds about right.
I might have done a couple of takes on some of them, but I don't recall doing any that were trashed without making air because they wrote them for specific shows.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Jared, if you have any more questions. I've got a couple more, but go right ahead.
No, I think this is implied from your comments, but if season three ever is a go, you're on board for participating.
I didn't quite catch that. I'm having a little trouble.
Sure. If there is a season three, are you signed up for participating and continuing your involvement?
It's never been discussed because I don't know that anybody's toyed with the idea of a season three. Certainly if I'm still have my mental faculties. And mobility and all of the things that I'm blessed with right now, although you might question that first part.
I think we're more questioning about ourselves. But
I'd be interested in doing it because it was fun. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Have you followed, obviously, the podcast that you're on right now is focused on the show I Think You Should Leave, which is Tim Robinson's sort of sketch comedy show on Netflix. I'm curious if you've watched that show, if you have any thoughts on it, if you knew about it. post Detroiters, obviously. Tim has kind of gone in a different direction a little bit.
I have not, what's the name of the show?
It's called I Think You Should Leave. It's very short episodes, sketch comedy, a lot of similar humor,
just amplified.
Yeah, it's amplified a little bit, but we highly recommend it if you have time and a Netflix account. we've devoted this whole podcast to that show. And then, you know, obviously Detroiters rolls into it.
The show?
I think you should leave.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
And then once you do, we'll have to revisit and have another interview with you, Mark, because we'll have to know how you feel about I Think You Should Leave.
I would love that.
If you're open to it, obviously.
We'll see how that works out.
I respect that answer.
At my age, I don't buy green bananas. So, you know, the end
is... Oh, my God. Now again, I'm never going to be able to look at a green banana the same way again.
Again, our listeners are at home, you know, thinking that Mort is clearly the most coherent of the four of us right now. So,
oh, absolutely.
They're probably a little confused by that, but we understand your point.
Well, I've had a lot of years to practice coherency. I was talking to Bill Bonds one day, and he was a funny guy, and Bill and I, we, even though we were competitors on the air, we enjoyed each other. And he told me one day, he said, "You know, Mort," he said, "the most important characteristic for a news anchor is authenticity. Once you can fake that, you've got it made."
It's amazing.
Love your sense of humor, Mort. Do you have a favorite day of news telling from your time in Detroit? Like, was there a news story or anything from your 20 years at Channel 4 that you remember the most?
There were two interviews that come to mind as two of the most interesting people for entirely different reasons. One was Coleman Young. He was mayor of Detroit at the time I was there. And the other was Bishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa. He came through town, and I had the pleasure of interviewing him. And Young was interesting because of the real Coleman Young that I got to know. They allowed me to spend a day with him at his office and a day with him in Manoogian Mansion, watching him go through all of his official duties as mayor. And then getting to talk to him personally about his personal life, which he just didn't talk to anybody about that. But he was willing to do that with me. He said he trusted me, and I don't think we violated that trust. But he was interesting because he had this street smart, wiseacre, you know, loudmouth, talk the ghetto language. That was his public image. But when you interviewed him and got to know him personally and privately, you discovered that he had a great knowledge of philosophy and history and poetry, and he loved music, good music. But he managed to maintain that image because it was important to him electorally to never be too, you know, above everybody else. So that was an interesting interview. Bishop Tutu was the most inspirational interview that I've ever done because he had suffered so much physically and emotionally. He'd been in prison. He'd been beaten. His family had been abused and tortured, and his people had been murdered. And yet he had come through all of this with such a wonderful spirit of Jesus. I mean, he really walked the talk, and he just radiated forgiveness and grace, and it was an inspiration just to be around him. So those, during my years in Detroit, I mean, there were so many great stories and so many wonderful memories and great experiences, and covering the fireworks and the Thanksgiving parade, and just on the day-to-day news beat, and the camaraderie that I had with all the people in the newsroom. And we'd go out after the 11 o'clock news, we'd go across the street to the anchor bar and just relax and enjoy each other's company and tell stories. I have wonderful memories of raising my children there. And so it will always be home. I was there. I was on the air on TV for almost 20 years, but I was there and a part of the scene for closer to 30. Mm-hmm. And running the company and doing my syndicated radio, and I had a column, a daily column in the Free Press. So yeah, Detroit will always be home, and the memories are rich and plentiful. And
I think you can see that in the show a lot, in your performance in the show and everything.
Yeah. Well, it's actually true.
Yeah, very genuine.
I lived in Detroit longer than I lived in any other place. I could never hold a job. Finally landed in Detroit, liked it, stayed there. But I guess I'm coming up now on just about equaling that time. It's hard to believe, but I retired from television in Detroit 23 years ago.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
So a lot of that time I was splitting my time because I was still flying the airplane quite regularly. And so we would fly down here sometimes just for a long weekend, take a Monday off and fly down, you know, for 3 days. But I've lived here in Florida. First condominium I bought here was in 1982 at the Sawgrass, right down the street from where I live here in Jacksonville. And then when we got ready to retire, we bought a home on Amelia Island, which is just north of here. And we were there for 8 years before moving into the city of Jacksonville. So it's a good life. I'm very grateful. Very grateful. I said, of all the things I've felt since losing my wife, and that was one of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with. I lost two wives to cancer. I lost my first wife after 34 years. We were childhood sweethearts, and I married her when I was 19.
Wow. I'm so sorry.
Rini and I were married for 31 years, and both of it very, very sad, big loss. But I told my kids, I said, the one thing I can never feel is self-pity. How many people would be blessed to have one great love in their lives? Two.
So true.
And amazing. So I'm just filled every day with gratitude for health, for friends. Don't have that best friend picked out yet, but I've got a lot of friends.
You're about to get a flood of applicants, I promise.
And yeah, we could name each one. There'll be one best friend and everyone else is a chump of the week.
You can have 200 best friends.
And then one loser will have to join ISIS.
Yep. And then pow!
To close out the episode, wanted to give a special thank you to Jeremy. Almost on a lark, I said during one episode that we would love more than anything to have Mort Krim on the podcast. And one of our listeners, Jeremy, had a connection to Mort and reached out, and I just wanted to say thank you again. It was really a joy recording with Mort. We sort of had some time before and after the podcast, which doesn't really make the final cut. And that was as funny as what you are hearing here. So it was really a joy to do this podcast. And Jeremy, I wanted to thank you again.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about.
Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown clown pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative, I think you should leave, product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine, again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.